From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Well, it's finally happened. Late last week, Republicans in Congress approved President Trump's request to claw back more than 2 years' worth of funding for public radio and television stations. It's been a goal of conservatives going back nearly as long as public broadcasting itself, but those attempts by the likes of President Nixon and Speaker Newt Gingrich and others, they never succeeded. Until now. We asked members of our texting group about this. Sue and Elgin said, "It's devastating. Conservatives are biased against the truth, which is what NPR and PBS deliver." Likewise, Brandy in Urbana said, "In part, the people who claim that public media is biased, left-wing radical media, only think so because public media doesn't pander to their set of alternative facts. Public media is fact and evidence-based. Its coverage doesn't pander to left-wing radicals either. And I would know," Brandy says, "as a self-described leftist." On the other hand, Tom in Elburn said, "NPR most definitely espouses leftist ideology. That Maher," referring to the CEO, Catherine Maher, "that Maher must go. Read Uri Berliner's articles about his experience at NPR. Unbelievable," Tom in Elburn says. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. You can join us today by calling anytime in the next hour. 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. A little later in the hour, we'll be joined by Mike Pesca, former reporter and producer for NPR, now host of the GIST podcast. He and I will consider some of the critiques of public media. But we start the hour today with a panel of general managers from NPR and PBS stations across the 21st state. Heather Norman is with WIUM, Tri-States Public Radio. She's also the president of the Illinois Public Broadcasting Council. Jeff Owens is with WEIU in Charleston. Dawn Schmidt is with WQPT in Moline. Larry Hunter is with WSIU in Carbondale. And finally, Moss Brasnahan is with our home station, WILL, Illinois Public Media. Also, full disclosure, my boss's boss. Thanks to everyone for being here. And I'm just going to begin going around the horn and asking each of you how much federal funding your stations receive, what you use it for, and your initial responses to its elimination. And Heather Norman, I'll start with you, WIUM in Macomb.
Thank you. We receive $200,000 in community service grant. It's about 17% of our budget. I currently use it for programming because that's what works best in our accounting system. And the
what does that mean, programming, for people who aren't steeped in media?
Insider. NPR programming, American Public Media programming, some local symphonies that we produce, just a wide variety of programming that we put on our airwaves. It's not just national distribution.
Right. So, and so that's just so people have an understanding of how this works. Local stations around the country pay a lot of money to NPR and PBS and other companies or organizations that produce Morning Edition, All Things Considered, all the shows that people are used to hearing. So, how are you responding to its elimination?
We're going to be evaluating what programming costs are as we evaluate the response from all our distributors, what changes they are going to make. And we're going to probably start holding conversations with our audience about what's meaningful for them and with my colleagues about the throughout the state, some of which are on the show, on ways we can cooperate more.
Moss Brasnahan with Illinois Public Media in Urbana. What about IPM? How much is federal funding there? What's it used for? And what's your reaction?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Well, the cuts to CPB are going to mean a loss of about $1.5 million in annual funding to our stations. And that's about 20% of our budget. And so it's too soon to announce any specific program changes. I mean, we're going to prioritize our core services, PBS Kids programming and our local journalism and our classical music service and so forth. But the funding does leave a pretty significant hole in our budget. And, of course, we don't know what PBS is going to look like or NPR is going to look like. The dust is still settling, and we're in conversations with the national organizations. But I think, the bottom line message is we're resolved to get through this. And, the future of public media is probably more in the public's hands than ever before. Our budget was funded, you know, more than 60% by listeners and viewers. And so that's going to be even more important as we move ahead.
Larry Hunter with WSIU in Carbondale, which has, I think, people who are not as familiar may not realize you have a large footprint across the state with repeater towers and TV. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we do. We're a dual licensee with radio and TV stations. I have stations in Quincy, Macomb, Springfield, Olney, Carbondale, as well as many radio stations down in this end of the state, in the southern end. How it's going to affect us? Well, actually, about 24% of my budget comes from the funding, which is about $1.4 million. So it definitely will have an impact on our programming. That's really what I see the biggest hit it's going to put on us, and it is a gut punch to lose that money for programming. But, you know, with anything, makes us think about things, probably narrow our focus a little bit more and start thinking about what we can do as far as collaboration with other stations in the state to try to do more and help serve the students that we use here at Carbondale a little bit more, maybe with local production. So I, you know, I'm looking at the opportunities that maybe have changed with this funding cut and what we're going to have to do to fill out the day and stay on the air.
Dawn Schmidt with WQPT in the Quad Cities PBS station there.
Thank you so much. The loss of federal funding is about $840,000 for WQPT. It accounts for 54% of our budget. So this is definitely concerning and something we're going to have to evaluate. Like everyone says, the full impact of this is yet to be seen. For us, we use the money for operations of a TV station. So our transmitter and just getting our signal out there. We also have robust outreach to our community, to our schools, and after school programs, libraries. So we're just going to take this time to evaluate and reassess. We're committed to the Quad City community and surrounding area. So we understand we have to make changes. Changes are going to be necessary, but we still want to stay committed to our community.
And Jeff Owens, finally, WEIU in Charleston. What is this? What has federal funding meant for you, and where are you now?
It's our biggest grant, so it's about 70 to 75% of our budget. You know, is the CS Community Service Grant. So yeah, it's a somebody said gut punch. I like those words. Our money we use is, you know, goes to programming. We're a partial PBS station, which a PDP station, since we're tucked between Moss and Larry there. So we do a lot of local productions where some of that money goes to help produce those. And with our two producers on staff that produce like five or six shows a year plus specials, that's where that money goes, along with, you know, the regular day-to-day TV operations. We are moving ahead like nothing's happened, even though behind the scenes there's a lot of things that are happening. Wednesday there is a national meeting with all the general managers where PBS will outline some stuff. I think we'll get a lot of information then. My president and direct vice president have both said they want to meet later this week to discuss the kind of strategy as we move forward. We've saved up a little money, so we should, knock on wood, be all right for up to a year, but we're getting ready to do a fundraising campaign of some sort after we find out a little bit more information on Wednesday.
You know, let me ask you, Jeff, in your area, you know, I was talking to somebody in, who is sort of a notable public radio person a few weeks ago, and they said that public radio was founded to fill a gap in local and, or I should say national and international news for local audiences. And now it's kind of the opposite. People can get national and international news on their phones easily, but local news has become much harder to come by. What is the local news landscape in your part of Illinois?
Well, for us, television, our news program is one of our biggest things that we've done for the last 25 years. We've sent students, I call them kids, students all over the country to get jobs and that have gotten jobs in, you know, TV everywhere and weather, news and everything. So it's important that somewhere has to be a training ground for those students. And WEIU prides itself in that. You know, we have 39 students coming back already in the fall, and we're going to try to double that. To get those students the right experience here at WEIU. And for radio, you know, we're the only station that really services Charleston day to day and the Eastern Illinois University area. There's stations that do a little bit of it, but in terms of day to day, that local landscape, we are the one. We're not NPR. We're a local radio station. So this federal funding doesn't hurt us as much on the radio side, but definitely on the TV side it hurts. And we'll continue to you know train students in the fall and next spring as if nothing happened, even though there are a lot of things happening behind the scenes.
And Larry Hunter, what about in Southern Illinois, right? I know that there are a number of counties down there that are now considered news deserts, right? There's no newspaper anymore. I know the Southern Illinoisan has been on fairly hard times. What is the broader local news landscape, and how does WSIU fit into that?
You know, you're right. It's actually been very difficult down here providing or getting local news for a lot of people. And we've had more and more people contact us about different events and things going on in their areas that just haven't been covered, whether it's been newspaper or print or television. It's definitely changed down here. So we continue to do local news. It's very important to us. We involve the students in that as far as news gathering and working with that. We produce shows on television, such as Capital View, that try to reach out and give a better understanding of what state politics is. But you're right. It's a void that's going to need to be filled. And when you start taking funding away from public broadcasting, you're not going to fill it because we're kind of the last holdout as far as coverage for those kind of events and really covering our local area with local interest.
Heather Newman, what is the most immediate effect people might start to see, you know, October 1st when the new federal fiscal year begins, particularly at the more rural stations?
I think maybe not in Illinois, but in other states, people might see their stations begin to really pull back on services. I know there's talk of some stations being bankrupt as of October 1st. It may be more towards the end of the year. This loss is really immediate. I don't think people understand the federal fiscal year ends September 30th, October 1st. CPB would have money, and most of the money for community service grants would be in bank accounts before the end of the year. So there's not a lot of time for people who depend on those grants unless they have some reserve funds available to them. So I think in some parts of the country, you will see immediate results. I think in Illinois, you're going to start seeing us all have conversations about what programming is important to our communities, how do we serve our communities as best we can. You know, not long ago, Tri-States Public Radio lost our support from our license holder. We have a little bit of support back, but, you know, we had a significant loss of income at that time. So this is on top of that, and that does make, you know, covering things like local news a little bit more difficult because that takes hiring people. You know, that is, people go out and cover the news. Reporters are people, and they need to put food on their table. It's not charity. You know, they're not doing it for free. They're doing it because they're passionate about it, but it's still something, you know, they all have families, they need to take care of themselves, they need roofs over their heads. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, you need money to be able to pay people to do the work.
Yeah, and you mentioned your license holder. I'll put a name to it. That's Western Illinois University. I think everyone on the panel today is at a university-licensed station, including Dawn Schmidt. WQPT is affiliated with Quad Cities branch. Is that, do you see any opportunity for backstopping some of the funding there, or is that a closed door, so to speak?
The university is definitely not in the position to fill in any gaps from federal funding.
Yeah. Moss, we need to take a break in about a minute here, but what are the prospects for other alternative funding sources? I don't know. Nonprofit.
Well, I think even before the threat to CPB was there, we were looking for ways to diversify revenues, you know, digital revenue, ways to expand our audience in new revenue streams from events. And so we're going to have to accelerate that and figure out new ways to really leverage, you know, a lot of great content. I mean, people love public media and we have a longstanding relationship with our communities and our audiences. So there's definitely, you know, more that we can do. But it's important that, you know, one of the hallmarks of public media is that it's free. We don't want to have paywalls. We want it to be available to everybody, regardless of their ability to pay. But there are models, you know, so PBS Passport is a model that's worked very well for public television. So, you know, if you're a donor to a local PBS station, you get access to, you know, expanded content and extra content. And, you know, that's a model that's worked pretty well. So we'll have to look for new ways to forge ahead there. But philanthropy has always been the largest source of our funding. You know, it's more than 60% of our budget now, whereas the federal funding was 20%. And so, you know, that will continue to be the case going forward. And, you know, and I do think that although there'll be efforts to restore the federal funding, we really do need to look ahead as if that funding was not coming back. And the other thing I'll just say is,
yeah, briefly,
public media has never been more important than it is today. And so we have to make this work, and we will. We'll find a way to forge ahead.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. You can join us today, 800-222-9455. More to come after a break. Stay with us.
Support for the 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Art Center, presenting Firlai Baez, featuring colorful, large-scale works engaging history and legacy, on view through September 21st. Details at DesMoinesArtCenter.org.
This is the 21st Show. We're talking about the vote last week in the Congress to rescind funding for 2 years, more than $1 billion for public broadcasting in America, both public TV and radio. We're talking about this with a panel of station managers of PBS and NPR stations here in Illinois. Heather Norman at Tri-States Public Radio in Macomb, Moss Brasnahan with Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Larry Hunter, WSIU in Carbondale, Dawn Schmidt, WQPT in the Quad Cities, and Jeff Owens, WEIU in Charleston. In a few minutes, we'll bring in Mike Pesca, host of The Gist and a former longtime NPR reporter and producer, to take on some of the critiques that people made of NPR as this process was playing out. And Moss Brasnahan, let me ask you about that. You know, because, you know, there are those, and I think Mike Pesca will actually make this argument, or he did at least in a piece that he published this morning, that the threat of losing federal funding served as kind of a guardrail for coverage, right? It sort of was at least some way to try and keep public media on a more, you know, fair, balanced, if you will, to borrow a phrase, track. Do you think public media can serve the public without public funding?
Oh, sure. I think so. I've been in public media for 3 decades. I've never really seen our newsroom or our content intimidated because there was a public funding, CPB funding. And in fact, you know, the week of the Senate's vote to rescind funding, Frontline had an episode on the Trump administration's efforts to challenge the rule of law. I mean, so, you know, there's really no backing down. A PBS NewsHour, the Frontline, you know, public radio programming. I don't think it was really influenced because there was government funding. And I don't see that changing. I think, you know, my experience is that, you know, the editorial integrity of public radio newsrooms, public TV newsrooms has really been outstanding. And I don't think that's going to change at all, even with the loss of CPB funding.
Larry Hunter, let me actually invite listeners, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455 is the number. And Larry Hunter, let me read you an email we got. This is from Terry, who's in the Quad Cities, who says, as a Quad City resident, I've noticed that the whole arrangement in Iowa seems to be different from that in Illinois. In Iowa, there's basically one station that feeds transmitters throughout the state. This must be lots cheaper than in Illinois, where we have many independent stations. Obviously, the Iowa communities do not get much, if any, local programming, but would this be a form of organization that Illinois could take on to save money? Larry Hunter, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I always think there's opportunities with collaboration that we can all do to help cover our different regions. But Illinois has so many different areas that we have to cover regionally. And I, you know, it, it, with a station as big as WSIU, the coverage that we have, it's always a challenge to try to get everywhere and cover everything newsworthy in the whole market. So I don't know. It obviously anything like that would need to be looked into and see how we could work together. But I do think whenever you look at maybe weather concerns that we all have or utilizing students in our different colleges, I think that's something that we have to kind of do independently because, you know, that's the future. We're trying to maintain the future and where public broadcasting is going and help educate these students. And they need that hands-on experience that I think public media provides.
Jeff Owens, I know you need to take off in a moment here, but what do you think about that possibility of consolidation? I mean, WEIU in Charleston, as you said, it's one of the more heavily dependent on federal funding stations. It's going to be a significant hit to the budget. How does that affect your, or, you know, how does that potentially relate to where things might be going?
I mean, we're always up to listen for collaboration. And like what Larry said, you know, the issue is always becomes the regional and then the weather changes. And weather's become so much more prevalent right now because if you mess up the weather, that's what people call and complain about or email about. We got one this weekend because a computer went down and they were mad at us. So, it's worth thinking about. My thing is, even if we collaborate right now, I just don't know if we could get it done fast enough to do something like Iowa does or even Kentucky. But it's definitely worth listening to. And I know Heather has really brought the Illinois Public Broadcasting Council together on a lot of things. And so I think you'll see some action happening on some level. I just don't know if we can do a whole statewide organization of a public programming for TV. I just don't know if it'd work in this state.
All right, Jeff Owens, I know you need to go. Thank you for being with us from WEIU in Charleston. Dawn Schmidt of WQPT in the Quad Cities. Let me ask you, you are in, you know, Iowa's part of your area. How would consolidation even work? I mean, Macomb, I presume the university board of trustees would have to get involved. I mean, that seems like it'd be a fairly high hurdle.
Yeah, I think there would be lots of organization. And like my colleague said, you know, it'd be really tough in a short time frame to organize ourselves like that. As someone who has Iowa Public in my market and they are my overlap, I know for us, Iowa Public has a signal in this market. So people do have access to PBS programming through them. But what they do not get from Iowa Public that you get from a local station is the hyper-local feel. WQPT as a PBS station, we've embraced the PBS mission and we take it into schools and libraries and we partner with our Title I schools to do reading activities and to provide free books for the children in our area. So that's something that would get lost in a large collaboration is the hyper-local touch points that the station has with the community.
Heather Norman, probably last question to you. This fight is not over. I know some people are talking about maybe the next fiscal year's appropriation. I don't know if that's how much of a long shot you might think that is. There's also this outstanding matter of the FCC investigation into stations over underwriting practices. Where do you see things going from here?
Well, that's an excellent question. I'm not quite sure. I was just at WBEZ on Friday, and we were talking about the FCC investigation. You know, funding is not the only threat that public broadcasting is facing. There's also the FCC investigation, which is looking into underwriting on our national distributors and stations across the nation that provide national content, both for NPR and PBS. And we're not sure of what the outcome of that will be. We do know that the last reports for all the stations are due at the end of the month. And we will probably be hearing about that, I would guess, sometime in August or September, what the FCC has to say about that. And I think that there's also some questions about, depending on what CPB does, they are a 501c3. They are not a government agency, so they don't have to close their doors. How are they going to respond to this? Are they going to try to raise funds themselves? What does that mean for the executive order that was signed on March 1st? You know, there are some outstanding questions. There's lawsuits that were filed by NPR, PBS, and the CPB. What does all this mean? And I think, you know, there's more to come, I guess, would be, and we're not quite sure of the outcome of all those. So I think there's still a bit of a fight ahead for the future of public broadcasting.
Well, stay tuned, as we say. Heather Norman with Tri-States Public Radio, Moss Brasnahan with Illinois Public Media, Larry Hunter at WSIU, Dawn Schmidt with WQPT, Jeff Owens with WEIU. I think I got everyone. Thank you all so much for being with us today here on the 21st Show.